Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Omar Khadr was a Canadian kid born in Toronto into a controversial family. He was captured in a firefight in Afghanistan at a militant camp. A U.S. soldier was killed, and Omar, as the sole survivor, was blamed for his death. Labeled a terrorist, he was sent to a prison in Cuba at the American military base known as Guantanamo. He was the youngest inmate there and reached maturity as Guantanamo's child. Guantanamo's Child is also the name of a new documentary about Omar Khadr's stay in the notorious prison. Partly based on Michelle Shepard's book, it chronicles his and his family's lives from his early years in Canada, his stay in Pakistan and Afghanistan, the decade spent in Guantanamo, and his status today back in Canada. The film premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival and is now playing in Toronto as part of the Canada Top 10 Film Fest. And I'm very pleased to have the film's award-winning director, Patrick Reed, here with me in studio to tell me more about Guantanamo's child, Omar Khadr. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Daniel. How you doing?
Very good. So I was just saying before, this movie blew my mind. It's a story everyone's been following. How did a 15-year-old Canadian boy end up in Guantanamo?
Well, it's an extremely complicated story. It's a story that a lot of Canadians know some of the details about, and I think you did a great kind of summary of the various kind of steps of the story. You know, what was really motivating this film for us was just the idea that everybody kind of has an opinion about Omar Khadr, particularly Canadians, and a lot of people think they know everything about him, either think he's like the ultimate saint or the ultimate sinner, a terrorist or a child soldier. But, you know, like most complicated stories, to really get to the heart of the matter, you really need to hear from the main character. And unlike anybody else I've ever done a film with, we couldn't talk to Omar for years and years and years. It was a long process to actually get to that point and to give an audience the opportunity to finally make up their own mind.
So let's start from the beginning then. He's from a controversial, notorious family, if you want, the Khadr family. Can you talk a bit about his life leading up to Guantanamo?
Sure. So he's born in Scarborough in 1986. In some ways a typical kind of Canadian upbringing. Liked playing hockey, liked basketball, very much kind of a kid growing up in Toronto.
But how did he end up in Afghanistan?
Well, so his parents, his father in particular, was depending on what story you believe, was a aid worker, traveled back and forth between Canada and Afghanistan and Pakistan, set up some orphanages, did some other things, got involved with some shady characters. Some people say he was, a very close friend and associate of Osama bin Laden's. Some people say he was a financier, a fundraiser for Al-Qaeda. Again, some of those details are still up for discussion or debate or dispute. What is true is he brought his family along with him. And that's kind of how Omar Khadr ended up getting in the trouble he did in 2002. His father basically handed Omar Khadr over.
At what age?
At that stage, he was 15 years old. Handed him over to some guys who were definitely militants, who were affiliated with Al-Qaeda, and told his son to basically act as an interpreter for them.
Pashtun.
Yeah, because, Omar could speak Pashtun, he could speak Arabic. The guys who were there were Arabs that he was working with. So Omar played an important role for the first few weeks he was with them. And then after that point, they started building IEDs together. They started planting those IEDs together. And that's really where a lot of the controversy lies related to Omar Khadr, because there's that, and then there's also the firefight, which happens a few weeks later with the American soldiers. And so he was definitely there. He acknowledges that in the film. He talks about that. He was there during the firefight. He did plant he planted bombs. He's regretful about it. So then the question largely related to that specific incident is, how culpable do you hold him as a 15-year-old who's basically handed over by his father. Some people would say he was there, he knew what he was doing, and therefore he should be, held responsible. Other people would say, by international standards and the law of war and child soldier conventions, that technically he's not.
You culpable. Directed a movie called Fight Like Soldiers, Die Like Children, about Canadian General Romeo Dallaire's work,
right,
to stop the use of child soldiers.
Right.
So in what way would he qualify as a child
soldier? Well, I mean, all the international conventions related to child soldiers that many countries are signatories to, including Canada, is that if you are under the age of 18, you are basically not responsible in the same way that an adult would be held responsible. Unfortunately, for Omar Khadr, there at the time when he was picked up by the Americans, I think there was two countries in the world that were not signatories to that convention. One was the United States, and the other one, I think, was Somalia. So they were the two kind of outliers. And so Omar Khadr could be held responsible and was charged.
But Canada did sign that.
Yeah.
And a Canadian juvenile
right.
was put into the world's most notorious right. prison in Guantanamo,
right.
where they tortured him.
Right.
Could you talk about that?
Well, yeah. So Canada plays an interesting role there. He gets thrown in Guantanamo. Before that, he was in an interrogation facility in Afghanistan that was far worse than Guantanamo, or a torture site.
Oh, the Bagram prison.
In Bagram, yes. But because of, all the war on terror, and we talked to, CSIS agents within the film, Canada was, they were an ally, and you don't kind of question the authority of America to a certain extent. And so what ended up happening when he was in Guantanamo is the Canadian government's policy, and it's easy to blame the Conservatives and Harper, who have a real kind of hard stance against Omar Khadr, but their liberal predecessors did not do much better at all. So Canada basically took the role of we will go down and we will visit him there. We will provide some kind of consular service. But at the same time, they were also sending CSIS agents down, Canadian intelligence agents, who were very much involved in the interrogation of Omar. Not the torture, but they had – you could say they were willfully blind, and that would be particularly charitable. They knew exactly what was going on. They knew about a number of, they do these frequent flyer programs where they would wake him up every 2 hours. They would go on days on end, a number of other things that by pretty well anybody's definition would define as torture under the Geneva Convention.
It was one of the most disturbing scenes in the movie where there's footage, video footage of him crying after having gone through days of torture while the Canadian representatives were there, and instead they were basically interrogating him.
Right. I mean, it's quite heartbreaking because to me that really shows him as an audience member or as a Canadian. He really comes off as a young Canadian boy. He comes in and these two guys introduce themselves as Canadians. And you see his face light up and he's so excited. And he says, oh, finally, Canadians are here. And can you take the handcuffs off? And, it becomes the standard kind of interrogation where it's good cop at the beginning. And then quickly over the course of the 4-day interrogation with these Canadian officers, he's no dummy. He realizes very early on that they're actually not there to help him. They're there to get more information out of him and that he's on his own. Thankfully enough for him, there was a Canadian who did come to his defense immediately or on the ground, and that was Dennis Edney, who's also in the film, who's a Canadian lawyer who took on his case. And for the first 3 or 4 years, his challenge was not to get his client out, but was to have permission to actually see his client in Guantanamo. And so that's really another kind of element to the story and part of the human story is the relationship between Omar Khadr and his lawyer, Dennis Edney, who essentially has almost adopted him in a way.
Well, you show in the movie, the footage of Omar is in his lawyer's home.
Right.
Talk about that arrangement.
Yeah. So again, we spent about two years trying to get access to film Omar once he came back to Canada. And we thought we'd film him in the prison system because that was part of the transfer agreement with the Americans. He was going to come back here and spend a few more years in prison.
Right now he's in Edmonton, Alberta. Is that correct?
He is in Edmonton, Alberta. So he got out of prison in May. And part of the bail agreement was that he would live with his lawyer, which is very highly unusual. And that's really the what we ended up spending two half days with Omar just after he had been released at his lawyer's house. So apart from interviewing him, actually getting to just spend time with him, kind of a day in the life on the outside.
And the footage of him in the film is... He seems like a really nice guy. Mm. Could you give me your impressions of him and what was most surprising when you actually talked with him?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that striked me immediately was just how absolutely kind of relaxed he seemed and how kind of at peace he was. And Canadians initially saw that, I think, within the day of his release. He got out and he did this press conference outside his lawyer's home. And I think people were... you know, genuinely surprised that this guy was so kind of self-assured and seemed quite comfortable. He had no handlers. He, you know, had all of a sudden you're in front of all these cameras, which is intimidating for anybody. We got to see a bit more of that. We got to see when he actually had time to kind of sit down and think. And he does acknowledge in the film, and I think it was very obvious that it's truly who he is, but it's also a bit of a veneer, and it's a protective veneer. You know, coping skills that he developed when he was in Guantanamo and other places, and knowing that he can only let his guard down so much at the right time. And, you know, he says in the film near the end that, you know, he's just wondering or waiting for a moment in his life where he can actually have the luxury of doing something like throwing himself under the bed and crying and really acknowledging everything he's gone through. I think people will sometimes look at it and just say like, wow, how can you be so kind of relaxed and self-assured? And I think that's partially who he is. I also think, you know, you can only deal with so much reality at once.
So you shot this film last spring and summer, mm-hmm. Is that right? And what is his status right now?
So right now he's still living with his lawyer in Edmonton. He's gone back to school. He's taking a course to be a paramedic. He's hoping to work as an ambulance driver or some kind of first responder. He's interested in working with people who are torture victims. He's interested in art, in painting, a whole bunch of other things. He's been quite surprised at how open and receptive people within Edmonton, within a larger community, have been. I mean, he's out, he shops, he goes to movies, he does things. And
he's on parole now?
Or? He's still on parole. And the under Harper, under the Conservatives, there was the talk that they were still appealing. They were going to appeal this decision that allowed him to be released. And it still remains to be seen exactly what the new Liberal government will do.
But I believe they dropped part of it.
They dropped a lot of the bail conditions. So it's far less restrictive now. He can go out at night, which allows him to go to night school. His electronic bracelet has been taken away. He's allowed to travel back to Toronto to visit his controversial family. More freedom for sure.
It's a heartrending, but such an important story for people to see. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks, Daniel.
Patrick Reed co-directed Guantanamo's Child, Omar Khadr, which is now playing in Toronto as part of Canada's Top 10 Film Festival. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.